chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good to have you. So let's start with this, just because it happened right after, I think, the last time you and I talked. We were talking on Monday, and then you had the vote in the House on the Daylight Saving Time Act. And then we talked to Rick Scott on Wednesday, so we've had a lot happen since then. Big bipartisan push for this, like over 300 people voted to approve the ability for a state like Florida to go to permanent daylight time, right?
Yeah, and so states do have the ability to opt out. The fear that I've got, you've got a number of senators, the Tom Cottons of the world, those guys, they're against this. So you've got northern states and western states that have heartburn over making this change. But the beauty of it is they can opt out. So it'll be interesting to see how hard they push back. This isn't the first time we've attempted this. And this was happened evidently decades ago.
Yeah.
And Congress reversed course and changed the law again. So, but the House finally did what we, felt like was impossible to do. And now we are waiting on the Senate to comply.
Yeah, that's basically what Senator Scott had told me last week is, if John Thune takes it up, it'll pass. The only question is whether he'll actually take it up or not. And I do think it could allow for some funny little wrinkles, like if I'm trying to remember which way it works. I guess if Georgia did permanent and Alabama stayed like kind of how they are now, then for half the year you'd have a 2-hour time difference at the Alabama-Georgia border, which would be kind of a funny outcome of this.
That's fine if it did
actually pass, but anyway. And we may, it might be one of those things where sometimes you got to learn the lessons of history by doing it again. And maybe we'll hate it after we have it in place for a while. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. And look, it's one of those things. States do have the ability to opt out. So, hopefully it's given a shot and the president gets to sign the bill.
Yeah. And I like the fact that how right now you can opt out of daylight time, but you can't opt out of standard time. And I think, both ways. It should go both ways. If a state wants to do one or the other, they should be able to do it. But like you said, we'll see.
A couple of states that have already opted out, like Arizona, right. I forgot what the other one is.
Right.
And they've been that way forever. So.
And it's weird. But, we live with it. No big deal. Blue Angels this weekend, great show. I know, like a lot of other people, I was sad that we didn't fly 6 jets because the number 3 jet did not fly Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I mean, I understand all the background around that. Obviously, we've been talking about this almost nonstop for a week. But you were here to watch the show?
Yeah. And, I shook hands with 3, talked to them just a little bit. Definitely there was a lot of folks that wanted to get selfies with them. And it was kind of one of those mixed moments where, people were upset that he wasn't flying. I think there was also an understanding that there needed to be kind of a time of reflection.
Yep.
But
this was that Friday night at the reception at the Hilton. Is that where this was?
Yeah, at the reception. What a great show. They claim on Saturday there was about 250,000 people on the beach. Biggest turnout ever.
It was crazy.
There was a different type of enthusiasm that turned out. One, I think the events of earlier in the week kind of stirred up another extra interest. But I did an interview with the television station about it, and they were kind of frustrated. Or at least they wanted to try to trigger frustration with me about the actions that took place with 3. And the way I kind of look at it is I look at the role that the Blue Angels serve. They're supposed to be ambassadors of the Navy, supposed to help recruiting, supposed to drive up interest in becoming an aviator. All those things that it does is kind of a marketing arm of the Navy. What they ended up achieving, unfortunately, the silver lining to it was they got hundreds of millions of dollars of global earned media.
Oh yeah.
So the exposure through social media, through nonstop coverage over, 48 hour window on national TV. Now the Blue Angels are going to be in Seattle this week. I'm sure there's going to be markets that there's a family that said, well, you know, those are the same guys that were on TV last week. Why don't we go check them out? There's going to be extra eyeballs glued to the seats in those markets that they're performing in because of the awareness that this brought to light.
My son in South Carolina has seen the video. Somebody in Ohio was watching the interview that I did with Juan on bass last week that then, you know, people in Utah got shared to him. I mean, yeah, like if the point of the Blue Angels is to promote the coolness of being in the Navy, which is exactly what it's supposed to do, is to generate, it's a recruiting tool. Okay.
Yeah.
There's in, you know, the last decade, there hasn't been another incident like this to promote recruiting, like anything I have ever seen. As you say, it's a, you know, you couldn't buy that kind of advertising for something. People are like, oh man, I want to go do that. Right. You know, and I saw a headline that I thought captured it so well. It said the Blue Angels too low beach flyover was dangerous as hell and shouldn't have happened, but the video still kicks ass. And I thought that was like the perfect summary of this entire thing. That's all of it in a nutshell.
Well, and you know, I talked to some former Blue Angels about it, and there was some real kind of cringe moments. But then again, I haven't heard what the full review investigation entailed. Was this on purpose? Was this by accident? Was a degree of both? You know, anyway, but nor here nor there. Thank goodness, no injuries. It was a fantastic weekend. And there was some notoriety brought to the Blue Angels.
And, you know, I was talking to Greg McWhirter, former boss of the Blues, on Saturday. We do a broadcast every year, and I was talking with him. And, you know, one of the things he said is there's a process, and ultimately you have to defer to the process that they're going to do what needs to be done and come out with the right answer, whatever that answer might be, for everybody involved, from the pilot to the team to the FAA to the folks at the SRIA. And, you know, just because they don't come out and tell us every TikTok moment of every discussion that we'd like to hear about doesn't mean that a good decision isn't going to get made in the end, and that's what I have confidence in. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second. Jimmy Candy has traffic on the 5s.
And we're not showing any slowdowns. It looks like everything's running smoothly. 437-1620, if you see that accident or slowdown, Candy with traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, you were the CFO for a while, and now, of course, you're a congressman. I know a part of your heart is always, anytime there's a storm or an emergency or anything like this, you always like to remind people to do a couple of key things. So we have a not that menacing of a storm. I mean, it's not even a tropical storm and not likely to be. It's a tropical depression. I mean, it might get up to tropical storm speeds. It's kind of close to it now. But this thing's going to move along the coast. But what's your advice to people who maybe are new to the area or just haven't gone through this before at all?
Yeah, look, there's going to be new people. And you got to do this anyway. We're in hurricane season still. But take your smartphone. This is really easy. Take your smartphone. Go film the outside of your house. Get photo evidence that there's no trees or any damage to your house. And then do the same thing inside, but inside's a little bit different. Inside, film your furniture, film your wardrobe, film your TV. Just walk through, do a slow video talking to yourself. I mean, literally, it'll take you a total of 5 minutes tops. Take those videos, email them to yourself so they're in the cloud. Now, here's why I want you to do that. God forbid you have damage. You're going to call your insurance company. Insurance company is sending an adjuster out. And the adjuster is going to want to ascertain, this was our fault, this was not our fault. If you've got video from this week and it's showing on this day, this is what my house looked like, and now you've got damage to it, that's really black and white. It's cut and dry on what the insurance company is going to need to write your claim for. Speeds things up. God forbid you have significant damage. Let's say a tree falls on there and does a lot of damage.
Right.
Now you've got to take an inventory of what you've got in your house that you lost. It's impossible for you to ever remember this, but you'll be able to reflect on this video and go, oh my God, I forgot about my DVD player. but you see what I'm saying? And if you've got that, it's just going to speed up the claims process. And a lot of times the claims process is trying to ascertain what they owe you for, but now you've got some photo evidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got the video, which is useful, but also I know this as a teacher, talking through things means you learn them better. Walking around your house, even if something happened to the video, you're that much more aware of all the things you have in your house, so you're better prepared to file a claim, if, you know, whatever. It's just, it's a good thing 100% of the way around.
And if you'll do it, the good thing is you'll have it for the rest of the year, because we're not out of the woods yet.
No, that's absolutely
some reason why Mother Nature loves visiting in October. So,
and though it's not as common, you know, we do have pop-up storms and tornadoes, and you know, you might not have a week to prepare like you typically do for a regular old hurricane or something like that. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, we have locally, I don't know how much you've been tracking this, but locally, one of the biggest topics in the last several weeks, there's a group of people that have really made data centers their big thing. Like, it's kind of a fetish with them that they are against data centers. And they have gone to the Escambia County Commission numerous times. They've gone to the Pensacola City Council many times. Some friends of theirs so basically have gone to Santa Rosa County. Santa Rosa has put in a one-year moratorium on hyperscale-level data centers, or I think maybe all data centers, even though it was already not allowed in the Land Development Code. Pensacola just put in a one-year moratorium on the 50 megawatt and above, like the state law put in. Escambia is going to take up the same issue. I think it's likely. But my concern, and this is why I wanted to ask you, you see things from sort of the 50,000-foot D.C. view. I'm worried about we're the cyber coast. We have military. We have Softly Field that we're trying to develop. We have, aviation, military-related things here, including, you know, we have GE Vernova. We have a lot of, like, forward-looking industry, and it worries me that this is going to stifle maybe some opportunity that we aren't seeing quite yet, or that, you know, we might need this in the future in a way that is worth doing, and yet we've kind of let these fringe activists really take over the conversation. What's your thought?
Yeah, look, the data center debate right now is white hot. The one thing that I feel like is not being talked about enough is, you know, you've got this race happen with China. You can't tell me, look, TikTok is the single greatest espionage tool that exists, and China uses it. Now, again, you're hearing the disclaimer. If you're using TikTok, understand whatever is on your phone and what your phone is connecting to your household, if China wants to look at it, they can totally do so.
Yeah.
So look, China does not want us leading in this race. So is there influence taking place? I would say there is. At the same time, I'm very personally concerned about data centers, because you've got to create a pathway where your utility rates, if they say somebody puts a data center in an approved place in Northwest Florida, again, we're the ideal place that a data center needs to go is somewhere where there's already infrastructure in place, like transmission lines.
Right.
But in saying that, you know, I've always said from day one, and I'll keep on saying it, I can't support data centers if it's going to increase utility rates on the local folk. So, you know, this is where the president's come out and has empowered, you know, those that want to build data centers that they can generate their own electricity. That is something that is usually a very arduous task that at least the president also sees and is focused on making sure we lead, but at the same time, not at the cost of local citizens. But, you know, I think the data centers are very similar to any other innovation that is being contemplated. There's going to be misunderstandings about it. But at the same time, you know, my concern is I don't want my electricity rates to go up. It's been difficult enough dealing with inflation, and I don't want to see an extra burden. I used to regulate utilities. You know, they are going to have to judge and budget for demand.
Yeah.
The only other upside financially is you put in a data center, you think about the capital expense that's taking place. It's not going to put any kids in our schools. It's not going to put any kids in our people
right.
in our jails.
Right.
So there is a huge boon to the county's revenue because of the capital investment there that's taking place in that land.
Yeah, and people talk about there not being very many jobs at a data center, and that's true, but there's lots of property tax revenue that'll flow to the county and not any draw on that for roads or, you know, like you say, for schools or any of that kind of stuff. You know, just as an example, we have Softly Field over here that's, you know, the NES Pensacola has actively said they're trying to develop it. Well, Softly has a solar farm, but other places, you know, you could have a solar farm that generates, let's say, 75 megawatts, and then you could put a 50 megawatt data center, I'm not saying at Softly, but anywhere, and then it actually sends power to the grid and produces some of the benefits of what we all like to have with our phones and with our social media and streaming these videos and movies. I mean, just, I don't hear a comprehensive conversation about this, and so I'm glad some of the points you brought up, and particularly about, you know, being forward oriented towards our competition with China, which is our near peer, our biggest adversary right now. So,
and then you just look at what dependency the world is going to have moving forward on AI. It is what it is. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle at these data centers to proceed. You know, my fear is them having the upper hand on, you know, our country with this technology.
Yeah, no, it seems clear that if anybody would love us to not pursue this more than the particular people who are out at these meetings, it's the Chinese. I mean, certainly, whether they're actively manipulating them or colluding in any kind of way, that's an interesting question.
Right.
But certainly, the interests of China are much more in terms of getting us to stop growth in this direction. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Stay safe. Take care.
7:55 on News Radio.
I love you.
News Radio 92.3. Candy has traffic on the 5.